Well, we're kind of picking up on the threads that we were reading from last week in our gospel lesson. But today is Trinity Sunday. It's the only special Sunday of the church calendar year that is focused on a doctrine. And a doctrine that is not spelled out word for word in the Bible. It's rather seen over and over again in the Bible. And today's passage, the reading, is a fine example of that. Jesus probably knew that he couldn't stop and take time to get a comprehensive teaching on this. Rather, he just illustrated how the Trinity functions and works. This is one of the many passages of scriptures that tell us God is a Trinity of persons, but one God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Jesus, the Son of God, tells us he will send the Holy Spirit if he goes away. The Holy Spirit will come and speak truth and speak only what he hears from the Father. And then Jesus wraps it around to say, what everything I have belongs to God. What God has, he gives to me and declares it to you. So many times in Scripture we see that perfect relation to the Trinity. Jesus, when he gave his great commission, said, go therefore into all the world, doing what? Preaching and baptizing, right? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's the legacy we have of Trinity in the Scriptures, Jesus just pointing it out rather than having us try to understand it. But this is also a time in verse 15 when God gave us everything. John 16:15 says, all that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you continue to build in our hearts this message that our lack of receiving, our lack of knowledge, our lack of wisdom, our lack of resources is all on our end. Help us, Lord, to continue to press into this until we see that with open hands we can come to you and receive everything you have for us. But the willingness and the desire has to exist on our end. Come, Holy Spirit, awaken our hearts to these ideals for our Christian life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. For one thing, John Wesley, when he was commenting on this scripture, he said, all that the Father has is mine. Could any created being make that statement? No. For Jesus to say that all the Father has belongs to him is another way of saying, I am synonymous with God. Last week we did focus on God being ready to answer your prayers if you are ready for God to give you everything he wants to give. The conditional aspect in this relationship is of us being in a prepared position, a prepared state of mind and heart to receive whatever God deems as good and what God declares for us to have. In verse 11, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will convince the world concerning judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Last week, I pointed out that Jesus has invaded earth. When he came to the world, God was invading enemy territory. You understand that Satan had exerted dominion over mankind. And we've discussed recently many times, mankind doesn't need the devil to do bad. Man does a way of finding bad on his own. Humankind has no trouble. You see, Satan didn't make man bad in the garden. Satan tempted man to be what man can sink to. But Jesus entices us to know that when he invaded the world, he conquered hell. He conquered death. And now he leads the charge after Pentecost with a church that is charged with the Holy Spirit to tear down the gates of hell, to strip the captives of their bondage and set them free, to set at liberty the oppressed, to declare the arrival, the inauguration of the kingdom of God on earth. I can't say it in a way that could tell you you should be excited. If you want me to raise my voice, I will. But I didn't quite see the reaction I'd always, hoped for. When I tell you, Jesus came and set the world on fire for the kingdom of God. I guess when we become adept, when we become old pros at listening to sermons, we can still sleep with the best of them. What a celebration it is to think of this moment in time that God invaded the timeline, reinvaded, and then captured the attention of humanity again. While we careen on in our path of doing just as bad as we want to do, as we just think that we can get the tattoo from Scripture, the baptism, right? The mark of the Holy Spirit, and then just go on and live as if nothing else has ever happened. Except in that moment when we need to pray, right? And we really hope God will somehow hear our prayer and bend his will around our need, and bend future time around that one choice to bend to our need. It's not the way it works. God is willing to give us everything. Everything. When we become willing to give him everything. It's not a transactional relationship, but it is a relationship where a father teaches human children about life, about the world, about the future, and about eternity. Not only that, but as Jesus said in Luke 12:32, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good will to give you the kingdom." Fear not. It is your Father's good will to give you the kingdom. So if this is a truth and you walk around saying, "We believe the Bible, my church preaches the Bible, we teach the Bible," all except, three or four chapters, we're good to go, right? Or this part right here where it says God's good pleasure is to give you his kingdom. Yeah, but no. It's God's goodwill to bestow the kingdom. And this isn't material wealth, but it certainly doesn't restrict that. It's the wealth of the kingdom and the resources of the kingdom reserved for the king's family. Look, as a parent, oh boy, as a father, there were times when I just couldn't give my children everything they asked for. There were times when I wanted to spend money to give them what they asked for, and joy wouldn't allow it. There were times when I wanted to play with a new toy, and joy wouldn't allow it. This is about fatherhood. Chip it back up. Sometimes I was not able to give my children things they asked for simply because, you know, economically I couldn't afford it. They didn't know that. They just saw a commercial that had people like them in it with the things they wanted. Many times it was because I knew it was for best for them not to have it. Right? Sometimes, no matter how much they cried or wailed or thought the world was ending or they wouldn't be as recognized or accepted by their friends, I just knew it was best for them not to have a thing. Casey had an opportunity to be in the movie Carrie. She had a little, you know, what do you call those little face shot things and all, card, whatever. And she got called by an agency and they was going to try out in Charlotte. She was all excited about it. Poor old preacher daddy. I'm sorry, Casey, you can't be in the movie Carrie. I don't need that kind of demonic opposition coming into my door, you know. Many times, they couldn't have a thing because I knew it would hurt them. I knew it would have an opposite effect of the desired outcome. And you see, Joy and I, we had a plan and a hope for their lives. We knew how we hoped things would turn out, you know? And so we were pursuing that, and we knew that sometimes the choices they wanted to make would be detrimental to the total plan. Or, it would be absolutely best to have a thing later than now. Right? To learn to wait. To be patient. To understand that it's time to just pass time. Waiting. Our kids are growing out of the house now. Currently, the only thing that sits around in my house waiting is the cat. Waiting for me to obey him. He'll come and butt my leg, and then when he knows he's got my attention, he'll walk a short distance away and turn around and look at me, make sure I'm watching. Then if I don't start moving his direction, he comes back towards me some, and he lures me where he wants me to go. It's so great being the master in the house. Sometimes it's good to know that after a series of more events, things that you know have to take place, some of them not so good. Like in the fact that the only way to really learn how to ride a bicycle is to fall on one. And the ensuing injury that might potentially occur. We got so many parents in the world today who seek to shield their children from everything in the world. That their children will basically not be functional when they become adults. You're teaching them to permanently need you. God sometimes withholds that kind of help. So we can learn to walk on our own two feet. I know we don't hope anybody touches a hot oven. But how did you learn how ovens were hot? Right? All that the Father has is mine, Jesus said. All that He has is mine. And the abundance of His kingdom is our heritage. It's our birthright. It's our inheritance. It's that time when God said He gives us everything. And we said back, we're afraid. We are afraid. And Moses stood before the mountain at Sinai, and all Israel stood behind him. It was time to go up. And there was thunderings and lightnings and the sounds of horns and bellowing and all this stuff and lightning strikes. And people of Israel went up to Moses and said, "You go up there for us." Humanity has always been afraid to enter the holy places with God. And yet the only way we will ever fully receive our inheritance is to understand our sonship and our daughterhood includes access, includes us in the deep riches of God. Why would anyone be afraid to receive anything from God? The next time, children, we're begging God for the next shiny new thing, or the next what we think is best for our family, let's remember, all the time, God is dealing with you and me like children. And just like I didn't like everything my parents did for my good when I was young, sometimes you're not going to like everything God has for you in this life. But you can bet everything God has for you is good and will be good. Let's take some time now just to reflect on this fact. We'll have the Hornbys come. If anyone desires time at the altar, this is a perfect time for that. If you need time alone before God to pray, we'll leave you alone. But if you wish for somebody to come and pray with you, or maybe you came today on purpose hoping to hear the gospel, the saving gospel about Jesus Christ, if you raise your hand while you're here at the altar, I'd be happy to come and we can talk together and you can reason with God for faith today. Amen.